friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Pretty simple day. Two huge stories going on in Cleveland sports. Absolutely huge. We will be all over both all day long right here on 92.3 The Fan and on Baskin and Phelps in particular. Baskin's not here. He just walked out. He was wearing a hat today. He didn't have time to take a shower and do his hair, get the product in his hair before he came in to fill in for Ken today, which, you know, I never have to worry about. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner, Dan Menigan, who did get product in his hair. Dan's good to go. We have two big things. We'll get to Dylan Gabriel. We'll get to the quarterback switch. We expected it. When Kevin didn't commit to it the other day, to Joe Flacco, or we just assumed that's what's going to happen. Browns have made the announcement. That is what's happening. We will hear from Kevin coming up at 10:25. And, of course, the Guardians win today, or good night, Irene. Dan Menigan?
First thing, this hair has very rarely had product in it since high school.
You have great hair, man.
I gave up on that nonsense. There's not enough room
great
in this
hair.
Room.
Got the a second natural thing, wave to it.
The second thing, I don't know
thicker
how those
than blazes.
I don't know how those guys do it. Because I have to take a shower in the morning or else I'm done for. Like, I will be asleep the entire day. I don't know why that's what it takes to wake me up, but it's one of those things that I have to do it or else I will spend the entire day just in a slumber-filled haze. Third, yeah, this is not surprising on Dylan Gabriel. We kind of saw the writing on the wall in the Kevin Stefanski press conference on Monday. This seems like how it's going to end. Welcome to the tryout period, and welcome to having an entire offense of rookies pretty much playing at most skill positions outside of Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku.
Is that a good thing? We're going to talk about.
It's a high ceiling. It's a high ceiling, low floor thing. I think that's the best way to look at it. And then the guards, you're 100% right. Can somebody please tell Jonathan Rodriguez, you got to keep your head down and watch the ball go into the mitt before you stand up and try to throw it? I mean, we've yelled at 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, all throughout this fine land that you got to keep your head down and then get the ball in the glove, then you can try to throw it.
Okay, you are correct. Okay, John Kenzie Noel couldn't find first base after he couldn't bring in a really hard hit ball. I understand how he didn't bring that in. Then he couldn't find first base. With his foot. And then Jose Ramirez makes a high school base running blunder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody thinks. You're not supposed to break on that. That's not the way the game is taught. That's not what you're supposed to do. I understand it, though. I understand it for this reason. You can't hit. Your team doesn't hit very well. And with Scooble on the mound, you're thinking, okay, can we get any runs? Okay, you were able to get one. Congratulations. Then you get on third base thanks to a bad throwing error by Javier Baez. And there's Jose. Well, George Valera strikes out. He's like, oh, gosh, all right, man. I'm sure the minute Jose heard the ball hit the bat, he thought, this is my chance, and it might be my only chance. And he broke, and Vest got it. You're supposed to wait on that and make sure it clears the pitcher. That's the idea. He didn't. That's a major base running blunder. But I get it. I understand, Dan, why he probably broke, because the team doesn't hit. And the ball hit the bat, and he thought, here's my chance. So I get it.
You have spent the entire season putting pressure on opponents, knowing that you don't really have the ability outside of Jose Ramirez. And I'll throw Kyle Manzardo in there. To consistently enough hit the ball over the fence and make teams pay for making mistakes. You have to play death by 1,000 paper cuts. You have to play pressure ball. I understand it from the situation that Jose Ramirez is so used to going pressure,
yep,
and watching everybody else crumble in those situations.
Yep.
It feels like one of those moments where Icarus flew too close to the sun with the wax wings. And I feel like that's what I watched with Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
He just, Icarus flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, and he thought that might be his only chance.
Right.
It was such a bad decision that he had a chance to slam on the brakes and turn around. That's how out he was going to be.
Yeah.
So it was a really bad decision. I understand why. The offense, because your offense is so bad, especially yesterday, your offense was so bad, I'm sure he thought, I got to go. This is my only chance. It was a bad decision, obviously. He was out by, he would, if he'd gone home, Dingler would have just been standing there like, Jose, keep coming. Here we go. Okay, there, you're out. Sorry about that. And he had a chance to stop, like, uh-oh, and turn around. So he was doomed. Terrible decision, but I understand why he made it.
And your entire game plan against Skubal has been pressure. You know, has been, all right, we're going to hustle out everything.
Here's a bunt. Here's another bunt.
We're going to hit a topper that he is going to miss field. I mean, goodness, if Skubal lets that ball go over his head on the play that Gabriel Arias scores,
yeah.
If Skubal doesn't go after that ball, that's right to Javier Baez, and we're not in this situation. But they must have identified that Skubal always wants to try to be Superman. And so they are continuously going to put pressure on him and try to make him make a dumb play. And he did in that situation. And I wonder if that rolled over to Will Vest. And I wonder if you had Jose Ramirez at a high point after getting to third on a pass ball to first base that Torkelson probably should have picked. Like, you flew too close to the sun. It had worked for so long. You had gotten so much good done with it that now you made just such a small error in a collection of errors that took place, but your margin is so small because you can't hit the ball over the fence.
You can't hit the ball, Dan.
Yeah.
How many balls went into the left the infield yesterday?
Four. Three flyouts and the Kyle Manzardo single. Four.
Now, all that said, Skubal might be the best pitcher in baseball. So you knew your margin for error was slim. And are you going to play a perfect baseball game? No. Is Jonathan Rodriguez a great outfielder? No. He butchered a ball, and it led to an extra base, and that led to a run when Torkelson hit the little flare out in the left field. That happens.
He's a DH moonlighting as an outfielder. Let's be honest.
Got a good arm.
He's a DH moonlighting as an outfielder.
Okay. John Kenzie, Noel is a DH.
Moonlighting as a first baseman.
Okay. Even though he's played more first base in his career than he's actually played outfield.
Correct.
Not in his major league career, but coming up through the system and everything else. They both just made a mistake. If you can hit the ball a little bit, it's not that big of a deal. Tigers only scored two runs. I mean, Gavin Williams was stunningly good.
Outstanding.
Really terrific. Well done. He pitched well enough that you should win that game 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. You just got scoobled. I mean, that's how
you got scoobled and you got guardianed.
Yeah, you got scoobled. I mean, they struck out 14 dudes.
But it's even, to me, it's even more than that. Because take this offense and put it up against Skubal. You've left yourself no room for error unless Tarek Skubal goes out and has a bad game. And how often does he go out and have a bad game? Not very often.
No.
And so that, you were just stuck. Now this is why, and I said this yesterday, and I completely believe it, and I feel that way even more so now. First of all, you were going to be in trouble if you lost game one. History tells you that. I believe the number is of the 20 series where they've had these three-game series so far since they changed everything, the team that wins game one wins the series 18 of 20 times. I believe those are the numbers.
Now, if you want to be hopeful, there are two ways. One of them, Han Solo to CP3PO. Never tell me the odds. The second way. It's a really small sample size.
It is.
20 occurrences, well, really small.
It is, except for one thing. 20 occurrences, small. 18 wins and two losses for the team that wins game one. That's not a small sample size. That's telling. That's telling. Doesn't mean it can't be done, and our team's been doing this all year. But it's why I hate the expanded playoffs. A three-game series, I mean, you could bring the Miami Marlins to town. And they could beat the Tigers in a three-game series.
But
you could bring the White Sox to town, and they could win a three-game series.
To push back, though, like, Casey Mize is not Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal is on a completely different level.
Casey Mize in three starts against the Guardians is a 2.08 ERA this year.
Everyone else, though, has been a step back from what Tarik Skubal is. And so it immediately, I think, puts things in a different light. You made it through the Skubal start, okay? Now this is when you need to buckle in. This is when you need to really barrel down. Because you weren't... I went in thinking they weren't going to beat Skubal. It just wasn't going to happen.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. And
now I feel better with Mize, and I feel better with Flaherty, not because of Mize and Flaherty themselves, but because of the fact that you're going to have to see that Tigers bullpen that's been a mess throughout the second half of the season.
You might have to see the Tigers bullpen.
Oh, you're going to see it. They're not going to let Mize go as long as they let Skubal go. There's no way.
If he's going like Skubal was, they will.
I highly doubt it.
2.08 ERA against the Guardians this year. If he's in the sixth inning and they've scored one run, don't look it up. I did. You don't have to look it up.
No, I want to look it up because I'm going to look up different numbers than you have.
Okay. ERA to me is a big deal.
I don't trust your numbers. I trust my numbers.
2.08. If Casey Mize gets into the sixth inning, gets into the fifth, hasn't given up a run, has given up one, they're going to let him go. And if he gets into the sixth, they're going to let him go. And he gets into the seventh, they're going to let him go.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So they've got to get to him, and they got to get to him early. And that means, and I also don't think you need to freak out offensively. And I say that, like, don't start playing small ball yet.
That's all they play.
I know, but somebody hit the ball.
What do you mean yet? We're past yet.
Somebody hit the ball.
We're in the now. It's been the now since, like, July.
Somebody hit it, please.
I'm with you. It is easier to win baseball games when the ball goes over the fence. I think every single person listening would agree.
It's easier to win a baseball game when the ball goes into the outfield.
That's valid, too. These are all good points.
And gets out there on the grass. Speaking of Kevin Stefanski, we're going to hear from him coming up momentarily. We're going to bounce back and forth all day because the Browns are going to have players speaking in the 11 o'clock hour. Kevin Stefanski is going to speak in about 11 minutes, and he's going to tell us why Dylan Gabriel is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. He might even tell us what their thought is. Is he the starter for the rest of the year, if it goes well? Is he the starter for London? Is he the starter for two or three? What's he going to say? My guess is he's going to say he's the starter for the year, and then change later if he needs to. Guardians have to win today. Browns leaving for London later today with a new starting quarterback. Here we go. A lot of stuff coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Daryl Ryder is going to join us. Chris Rose is going to join us at 12:40. Daryl's at noon. Meredith's behind the glass. Somebody's taking phone calls. We think it's a Lance. Get ready. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan here on The Fan. Within the next 5 minutes or so, Kevin Stefanski in Berea, where he will discuss the Browns' decision. Dylan Gabriel named the starting quarterback as they get ready to take on the Minnesota Vikings in London, coming up 9:30 start, I believe, isn't it? 9:30 in London. You'll hear it all right here on 92.3 The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan is in for Andy Baskin today, who is in for Ken Carmen today. So we're all over the place today. And again,
Were you ever a Parks and Rec watcher?
No.
There was this whole scene where they were making fun of NPR. And what they would do is the head of it was the guy who does the voice of Homer Simpson and many of Simpson's characters. And he literally just does every single time they intro someone what you just did.
Nice.
Yeah. And so that's what that made me think of was immediately is, hi, I'm so-and-so filling in for so-and-so who is on assignment for so-and-so. It's just perfect.
Well, welcome to a typical day at The Fan, right? That's the way it's going. Kevin will be speaking momentarily. And again, we'll be going back and forth between Browns and Guardians today because the schedule works out that way, and a lot of different things going on. 1 o'clock, 1:08 is game time for the Guardians. Game two against the Tigers. They have to have it. And the Browns with a new starting quarterback. I'm glad. This is not against Joe Flacco. What they were doing wasn't working. Joe Flacco has thrown the second most passes in the National Football League through the first four games, and has the second worst completion percentage in the NFL through four games.
Still baffling, by the way, that he's thrown the second most passes. That's baffling.
Well, why? It's not working, so let's do it more.
Yep.
That's not on Joe. That's on the play calling. It's not working, so let's do it more. Quinshon Judkins has played three games. He's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. That's pretty good. What does that tell you about your offensive line? It tells you it can run block. So let's pass more.
Right.
I don't get it.
Your tackles are out. You've been missing both tackles.
Yeah. So let's make them block premier defensive ends.
Right. Let's make them block. Hendrickson. We'll start from the beginning. Trey Hendrickson. We'll make them block. There's really not one for
Baltimore's not being
Baltimore.
Great.
Yeah, there's really not one. Meta BK, you could possibly say, but he's more of a defensive
and
tackle.
And he's now out for the year, right?
Sadly. Then we're going to have you block Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary. Then we're going to have you have to rear back and block, Aiden Hutchinson and whomever else is coming off of there. And now you're going to have to go to Minnesota, and you're going to have to block Kyle Van Noy and those guys. Buckle in.
Or you could just run the ball like crazy.
Or sorry, Van Ginkle. I got my Vans goofed up.
Sure. At least you didn't say Dick Van Dyke.
Good call.
That would have been bad. I don't understand the play calling. I wonder if it changes with Dylan Gabriel in there. With a young quarterback, I would run the ball. And set up play action for him. Let him run the ball. Dylan Gabriel runs the ball pretty well. Now, he's not real big, as we know. I don't usually care for quarterbacks who are 5'10". Doesn't necessarily mean he can't play. We've seen it. We've seen guys who can play who are 5'10". The perfect example might be Russell Wilson. Shorter quarterback, third round. There's your Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski will be speaking momentarily. Meredith's ready to go. She's listening. Kevin's getting close.
He's speaking right now. Let's go to Berea.
This is not about one person. Joe is a captain of this football team. We're going to need his leadership moving forward like always. And that's obvious with Joe, just the person he is. He's going to be the same guy every day. Excited for Dylan. He's done everything. He's handled everything really well since he's been on campus here. So we're just going to have to support the young man, coaches, players, offense, defense, special teams. So looking forward to the opportunity this week. Great challenge. Obviously going overseas to play a really good football team, a team that I have a lot of respect for from Kevin O'Connell, his staff, and some great, great players. So going to be a challenge. But with that, I'll take any questions.
One person, then why make this decision and why make it now?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is we need to all be better. Daniel, we need to coach better. We need to block better, catch better, run better. All of the above. We need to be better. And I know the quarterback position gets quite a bit of scrutiny. I understand that. But this is about our entire team playing better. Yes. Yes.
How much did the turnovers, the eight turnovers or whatever it was, through these first four games play a factor?
Obviously, Ashley, we need to be better taking care of the football. We are -6 in the NFL. We're 32nd. In turnover margin, and that's very difficult to overcome.
Does the change to Dylan can provide a spark for an offense that's struggling?
Well, again, we just I think across the board we have to be better, and that's the we in this thing. So obviously expect Dylan to play well, but we have to be good around him.
How about his ability to move? Do you think that can create something for the bottom?
I think the focus is on doing all those things, Scott, that allow you to be sound on offense.
Kevin, what are the things Dylan has shown you behind the scenes that make you believe he's ready for this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, from the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. He's been this whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup, and obviously now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
Do you need to simplify things for him this week or change anything offensively?
I think with any quarterback, you're going to play to their strengths. So regardless of who that guy is, veteran, rookie, you name it, you got to play to their strengths. I'm sorry?
Why now?
Yeah, just my decision where I felt this decision was best for the football team. Yes.
Why did you decide to make Joe the backup and not Shador?
Yeah, Joe's the backup.
Kevin, is Dylan taking any reps with the ones in the first?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How does he look in doing those in practice?
Yeah, young players, you're constantly getting better, whether you're getting reps or not getting reps. He has gotten some reps with the ones, but of course today, tomorrow, Friday will be the most extended time with the ones.
Go back to the behind the scenes stuff and maybe what he's showing you guys. I know sometimes when you get rookie quarterbacks and they're a backup for a handful of games, you see things start to really click for them. I guess, have you guys seen that with him? Like, has he taken a jump even just from that role?
I would think all of our guys, Ashley, with practice and meetings and just being more comfortable with the game and understanding opponents, which I think is another big part of this, because the opponents week to week are so different. I think all those guys stack these weeks and get better with each week.
About the importance of every rep when he was doing stuff in training camp and moving into now. So how have you seen him maybe embrace the side work that he's gotten to build this foundation for this opportunity?
I think you just have to do everything in your power, Cam, to get ready for when your number is called. Certainly at the quarterback position, it's different than wide receiver where there's just one guy out there. So there's one rep to go around and you have to do everything in your power. But it's no different than a left tackle making his first start or a defensive tackle making his first start or a safety or what have you. It's it's going to be the first time for Dylan on Sunday, but you try to build off of all your experiences. We'll work through that this week. Obviously, just getting Cam here, trying to get him up to speed and see where it goes from there.
Is that conversation with Joe, and how did he take it?
Yeah, I'll keep it between us, Scott. I would tell you, and you guys know this, Joe was an elected captain of this football team for a reason. We believe in his leadership. He's going to be the same exact guy he always is, which I really appreciate.
Challenging does it make it, going into London for Dylan and kind of preparing, get ready for this game?
Yeah, for our football team, it's we really don't focus on anything other than the work we have to get in. So today is a really important day. We'll have meetings and a jog through tomorrow. That'll be important. So it's really just focusing on what's in front of you and getting ready to go.
Challenges of Brian Flores' defense. I mean, he confuses quarterbacks.
Yeah, Coach Flo does a great job. I mean, it's a very, very good scheme with very good players from front to back. They do a lot. I think that what they're doing is simple to them and should be, and they want it to look hard to the offense. And they have a lot of versatility along their front, a lot of versatility in the back end where they can line people up in different spots. So really important as an offense that you stay true to rules, understand on a given play what the intent of that play is.
Miles not expecting to practice today. With that ankle, is that anything to be concerned about?
Well, he's not practicing today. I'd call him day-to-day.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Team gets from this experience of getting to go to a different country and play a football game?
Yeah, obviously it's a privilege to be able to go over there and play this game. Now that's what's most important to us is doing all the things both here and there to get us ready for Sunday. But it's a great experience for our fans. But really, it's a business trip for us.
You said Joe's obviously quarterback too, but was there, along with changing to Dylan, was there any conversation at all about moving Shador up to number two and making Joe?
Yeah, my focus is on this game. Joe's the backup.
In the game?
Yes. Bless you.
You guys made some receiver promotions yesterday. What have you seen out of Malachi since he's been here?
has done a really nice job. As you know, Scott, we do a lot of work with our young players after practice, Mondays, Saturdays, when they're not playing in games. So get to see these guys work. He's done a nice job with everything we've asked him to do. Intelligent kid. So excited for him.
Good.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There's Kevin Stefanski. And the move has been made. Why? Because we all need to be better.
We need to be better, Jeff. We need to be better.
We all need to be better.
We need to be better.
We need to be better around him. Joe's the backup. Dylan has had reps with the first team, and it was just Kevin's decision. Do you buy that? The decision part? I'll go ahead and say yes.
So, okay. I need to be the obnoxious guy who needs a smidge of context. If, let's say, Kevin Stefanski walked up to Andrew Berry and talked to Jim Schwartz and talked to everybody else who would be a part of the brain trust and said, I think I'm going to bench the quarterback and move on to Dylan Gabriel. Thoughts? Does that mean it's still his decision? Like, does that mean that's still his thought if he did that conversation? Because that's a natural conversation all of us would have, right? You would go to trusted people to make any kind of a decision and say, hey, I'm thinking of doing X. Does that make sense?
I would be absolutely stunned if that did not happen.
Correct. So then if that is the case, that we allow that to be Kevin Stefanski's decision, then yes, I 100% believe it's his decision.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no reason to think that somebody else came from above and said, you need to sit Joe Flacco and you need to bring in the kid. Because if it came from above, you know, another name probably would have been thrown out there as well. The one who sells all the jerseys.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
It's been real clear how these guys have been stacked so far. If something happens to Dylan Gabriel and he doesn't play well, if and we don't wish this on anybody, if Dylan Gabriel were to get hurt and to miss time, then you have that conversation. You know, and if they think Shador is ready, then he should play. And end of story. But it's been real clear since the draft, you know, who they think more highly of.
Yeah. They definitely do. And frankly, you've seen it on the field. Dylan Gabriel processes really quickly. He gets the ball out fast. And again, it's preseason football. You take all of it with a grain of salt because it's preseason football. But he processes relatively fast. He can get the ball out quickly. He seems to be able to read a field. He does all of the things that you're looking for in the quarterback position from a, you know, smaller perspective. You know, let's not kid ourselves too much. And when we've heard it more times than we can count, Dylan Gabriel would have been drafted higher had he been taller. But hey, like many of us in life,
but he's not.
That's not the reality. No. That's not the reality that we're living in.
We can talk all we want about his height and all that stuff. What the bottom line is he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Browns coming up in London. We have lots of stuff going on today. So Browns players will be speaking in the 11 o'clock hour. Your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel as the starting quarterback, folks? What do you think? 216-474-0092 and a stunning lineup move for Stephen Vogt today. Stunning lineup move for Stephen Vogt as they get ready for game two, a game the Guardians have to have or their season is over. We'll have all that for you coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps. Dan's in for Andy today. We all need to be better. That includes you, Menigan. That includes me.
Boy, it's the most factual statement going. I need to be better.
We all need to be better.
Offense needs to be better. Coaching needs to be better. Special teams needs to be better. Grounds crew needs to be better. Equipment guys need to be better. Everybody's got to be better.
Now, not to make
light of this. Janitor may need to be better.
Not to make light of this.
Meredith perfect as is.
He's right. He's right. And did you see anything out of the offense in the first four games that made you think, yeah, let's keep going? The answer is no. this no, team scored 16, 17, 13, and 10 points in the first four games. I'm sorry, Joe Flacco, vintage Baltimore Raven Joe Flacco, would have been a terrific quarterback for this team. That guy's way in the rearview mirror. And he had a great five-game stretch here a couple of years ago. I thought it was a bad idea to start him in the first place. And they did. It didn't work. If they have to change starting quarterbacks again, let me make sure I said that properly. If they have to change starting quarterbacks again, it better be Shador Sanders. I don't care if he's ready or not, put him out there. If they have to change starters again, it better be Shador. I hope they don't, because I hope Dylan Gabriel goes and does the great job. We're going to talk at 11 o'clock. Stephen Vogt is starting Chase DeLauder, who's never played in a major league game in an elimination game in center field. That's coming up at 11 o'clock.
Buckle in, kid. Good on you. I think you're right in this. I said yesterday I would continue to start Joe Flacco, and my reasons being I didn't want to send Dylan Gabriel out there against a Brian Flores defense.
Yeah, well, they're all good.
I'm not going to, like, you know, even in that moment, I was like, okay, I understand where they're coming from, and if they do this, it makes a level of sense. Like, I'm not going to lose my mind or anything like that because I disagree with it. I would not have done it, but hey, they're professionals. They're paid to do these things. I'm not. It's just, boy, welcome to the NFL, because Brian Flores is really good at what he does, and he's really good at hiding coverages, and he's really good at hiding pass rushes. And while Dylan Gabriel played 6 years of college football, and college football evolved over the times that Dylan Gabriel was there, boy, talk about getting launched right into the bonfire. I mean, good luck to you. You're gonna see a lot of weird stuff.
But guess what?
And you're gonna need to process that.
But guess what?
He's smart. His brain is really good. That's
Joe
one
Flacco
of the things
has seen a lot of stuff, and they've turned it over 6 times. Ooh. 6 interceptions, 2 of them not on Joe. It's football.
Agreed.
They've played a lot of football. Go out and play football. You've got a coach that's talking to you, giving you play. Go play, and let's see what we get. Because from the moment they signed Joe, in my estimation, he was not the answer to anything except, hey, who's a veteran presence who might be able to help bring these guys along? And the fact that they started the season with him at quarterback, I thought was a mistake. I would have started Pickett myself. He obviously must have been healthy because the Raiders didn't give him any injury designation. He was ready to be the backup to Geno Smith. So there's that. Now, go ahead and start Dylan Gabriel, and let's see what you get. You and I both think the same thing, and we thought the same thing on draft day.
Clearly, this is the kid you liked. This is the guy you wanted to go after.
That wasn't it.
What was it?
The minute they traded the second pick, their quarterback of the future is coming in next year's draft.
We talk too much.
We do.
We set up too many things. Yeah, we saw the writing on the wall the minute that they traded down in the draft. And at the minute that they moved on from the second overall pick, we're like, okay, this is the rebuilding year. They're trying to get as many picks as they can because they need to get younger and they need to get cheaper. And so this is step one of this. Throw him out there. Do you maybe have something? Boy, I hope so, because it would make life a hell of a lot easier if Dylan Gabriel is that dude. I doubt he is. If you ask me right now to lay out the odds, I would tell you I don't think he is the guy. There was a great tweet that was sent out this morning that said, I don't know why these teams pay so much for analytics and all that stuff, because make a quarterback change midweek and see how the odds move in Vegas. If the odds don't move at all, your quarterback probably that you're changing to isn't a whole lot different. The odds did not move for this game.
Devin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Devin, welcome.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Well, Kevin, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I couldn't be better, and I'm going to say it's about freaking
Kevin.
Time.
Sorry, it says Devin on the screen, Kev. My mistake.
Oh, I've been called worse. Trust me. I've been called much worse. So, anyway, it's about time. It's about freaking time. I mean, you guys know my thoughts on the Joe Flacco. I mean, if I ever meet him in downtown, he'll never have to pay for a burger or a beer, and I'll honor his game. He came off the couch. It's been a great story and all that, but as I said a couple weeks ago, this is not the Joe this year that we even had 2 years ago. No. So,
as it turned out, he was not.
The brain's moving faster than the body.
100%. And listen, no, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not trying to criticize Mary Kay. I know she's just reporting what the team, you know, tells her to say. I get all that. She's just
not tells her to say. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she's reporting what the team is saying to her. How about that?
What sources are saying? Go with that. That's a better
point. Right. Sources are saying, but every time she goes with the not pro ready, I'm screaming at my listening device. Are you kidding me? This kid cannot be any more pro ready. You cannot have found anyone who threw more touchdowns in college, started more games, and played against more ranked teams. I mean, and it's not like the kid was playing. He's not even a kid, frankly. He's almost 25. This young man was not playing for South Alcorn State. I mean, he was playing for top-level colleges. And the Buckeye team he beat, half that team's in the NFL now. So I never understood this whole not pro-ready comment ever from when they first started saying it. Because if he's not pro-ready, then there's never going to be anybody coming out of college that will ever be pro-ready. And yet, we see rookies starting games as of game one. So I think the time is great. I think they're doing the right thing, and I say let's go and let's see what we got with this guy.
Kevin, thank you very much.
Here's my thing with it, though. If you are going to start Dylan Gabriel, you need to take the offense that you have currently been running, where you're throwing the ball perpetually, and flush it, because you are going to set your rookie quarterback up to fail if you're going to go, hey, go out there and fling it 45 times a game. Like, that's just not going to work. You need to give him design throws. You need to give him easy throws, and you need to run the ball. And I hope what this also is Kevin Stefanski throwing his hands up and saying, we need to get back to running the ball. We need to get back to setting up play action. And this is the best way that we could do it. It's with this rookie quarterback in here and the precision that he has throwing the ball and the fact that he is slightly more, well, more than slightly more mobile than Joe Flacco is.
Significantly more.
And more mobile. And I hope this means we start to see more things that require mobility, more moving of the pocket, more quarterback run game, more run pass option, things that are a part of the modern NFL that needs to be in this offense to succeed and isn't dropping back and throwing the ball 45 times a game, because here, that is a recipe for failure.
Without question. And here's, if you're looking for ammo as to why you should run the ball more, we know how bad the passing numbers are. I mean, that's, we just know that situation. Quinshon Judkins has played in 3 games. He's averaging 4.8 yards a carry and has 2 rushing touchdowns. Everybody else combined this year, and Joe has a couple of those carries, Joe Flacco, 43 carries for 102 yards. That's 2.3 yards per carry. So with Quinshon in there, the offensive line has done a nice job. And Quinshon has done a nice job. And he has scored 2 touchdowns in an offense that doesn't put up points.
Judkins is explosive.
So
he's an explosive runner.
At least for now, give him 20 carries.
Right.
Give him 22 carries. Give him 18 carries. And then, I'm sorry, Dylan Sampson looked like he could play a little bit in that first game when Judkins wasn't there, especially coming out of the backfield. Mix him up. Let's go. Let's give Dylan Gabriel some weapons behind him to work with. You also don't have your number 2 receiver. Cedric Tillman's out, and he's on the injured reserve now. Kevin said yesterday, was it yesterday?
2 days ago.
It was on Monday, right?
2 days ago, Monday, yes.
Yeah, on Monday. And it was the first thing he said about Carter and about Tillman. These injuries are, we're dealing with weeks. Hmm? All right, weeks means, in this case, 4 at least, because you have to miss 4 games because you're on the injured list. So you're down one of your better receivers. And I like Cedric Tillman. He's got to play better.
This guy's
staying
healthy,
too. I'm going Stefanski. Yeah, he does.
And sadly, some of the concussion stuff, he cannot help.
That's been awful.
But he's got to stay healthy.
There's one thing that's working in this offense, and that's running the football. That's the only thing that's working in this offense. So what do? You better go out and try to establish the run. And if you establish the run, great. If you don't establish the run, you know what you need to do? You need to run it some more. You need to run the ball.
That's how you slap the training wheels on a rookie quarterback. Run the ball. Slap the training wheels on him. But give him easy throws and run the ball.
But what else does that do? Hey, wait a minute. This Judkins kid's really good. This is working. And if you're a defensive coordinator, hey, we got to shut this guy down. Let's go. All of a sudden, play action, boom,
exactly.
Somebody gets downfield. You have an open receiver.
Exactly.
Because the defense is overcommitted to stop the run. That can set things up.
Exactly.
It was just one of the silliest things. This is on Tommy Rees and this is on Kevin Stefanski.
Yep.
Why you were throwing the football as much as you were with a team. I'm not just going to say Joe Flacco. With a team that wasn't throwing it well. Is just preposterous.
It is one of the questions that I would love to have answered is why you have not been turning around and handing the ball to the running backs 25 times a game, 30 times a game. Because
Jerome Ford's a competent running back.
Right, and you don't have an explosive offense. You haven't found explosive plays in the pass game. Well, how do you find those in a world where everyone is playing 2 safeties high up the field to put a dome on top of your offense? You run the ball so those safeties have to creep up. Then you can hit them over the top. That's how this whole offense of the Shanahan, Kubiak, Stefanski offense has been built.
Kevin Stefanski was also asked in his press conference that we just heard here on The Fan, the backup quarterback, who is it? And his answer was Joe Flacco.
I think the big thing for me is we need to all be better. We need to coach better. We need to block better, catch better, run better, All of the above. We need to be better. And I know the quarterback position gets quite a bit of scrutiny. I understand that. But this is about our entire team playing better.
Better. We have to be better.
Right.
That was the
idea. And they think the unknown is going to be better than the known. It officially became that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. And they've decided to hop the fence. Okay. Let's see what this looks like. I hope that the playing in a world with a high ceiling and a low floor means you get closer to the higher ceiling than the size of the floor ceiling that Joe Flacco gave.
And why is Flacco the backup quarterback?
Will Joe slide into the number two role?
Yes.
Why did you decide to make Joe the backup and not Shador?
Yeah, Joe's the backup.
Simple.
Yeah.
Again, if they need to change starting quarterbacks, better be Shador Sanders. It will serve no purpose to roll Joe Flacco out there as a starting quarterback again this season. No purpose at all.
If Dylan Gabriel gets banged up, who would you rather see?
In game?
Yes.
Joe Flacco.
Okay. All right. I agree with you there.
In game, Joe Flacco. You know he's not going to be able to continue as a starter. It should be Shador Sanders. Should be.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.